You know, today being Pentecost Sunday, that's why I'm wearing a reddish tie, because it means the flames of fire from heaven is the traditional birthday of the church. I was in a church one time where some of the ladies made a cake for Pentecost Sunday. I prayed and hoped they didn't put 2,000 candles on it. They ended up getting the candles with the numbers 20000 instead. But what better way to celebrate than to explore how God takes care of the church, which happens to be us who compose its membership. This morning's Bible passage is probably one of the most comforting and beloved by most people. And it's interesting that in the scripture it says, like basically what it says, God will take care of you. That is what it says and what it means. So I can shut up now and go home. No, but it really does say a lot. If you would read this passage every day, you would find encouragement and you would find stamina and you will find the strength to endure some of the things that happen. But, you know, essentially it comes down to how does our faith hold up through good but also adverse times. It's more than a moral lesson, but a profound and important rule guide of Christian living. I have a question. Who do you think set the social tone for Washington, D.C. as First Lady of the United States? Can y'all recall who it could have been? No, it goes back. They've named a snack cake after her. Dolly Madison. She goes back to when President Madison was running. She set the tone, and it, her etiquette and everything still is followed very closely, even by Jackie Kennedy, who said there's no one could replace Dolly Madison. But Dolly Madison was also a very devout Christian, Episcopalian, in fact, and she was a very strong woman of faith. Well, it's 1814. And the United States is in the practically in the middle of the War of 1812. We don't hear much about that war because it's between the Revolutionary War and the other ones that we had. So it just barely even gets mentioned in the history books. But First Lady Dolly Madison trusted in God's guidance, and that reliance got her through a terrible moment in our nation's history. Of course, Dolly was hosting a dinner party at the President's Palace. That's what they called the White House where it got burned down by the British. And then when they painted it white, so hence we have the White House now. But it was called the President's Palace at that time. She received word from her butler who came at, she was seating the guest and she was at the end of the table, and the butler came in and whispered in her ear, the British Army is within 1 mile of the President's Palace, and they're carrying torches. So she informed her guest and made a very, very sympathetic excuse. She says, I am so sorry, but we're going to have to call an end to our dinner tonight because we're going to have to leave here suddenly. And so she did. She had them, they all went out orderly and everything. But Dolly stood there and she told the butler, take that portrait down of George Washington on the wall over there and roll it up and take it out to my carriage. Well, she was doing this and that, and her escort was waiting outside with her carriage, and he was sweating bullets. Where was she? Well, she came out of the doors there and got in the carriage, and he sort of mildly, said something, scolded her, but in a friendly sort of way, said, what on earth, Dolly, have you been doing prancing around in the President's Palace when the Army of Great Britain is about ready to burn a house down over your head? She says, I had something to do. And he said, well, what on earth did you have to do to risk your life? And she was carrying something, and it was rolled up too, like Washington's portrait. And she unrolled it and said courteously, as she showed it, it's the Declaration of Independence. So guess what? If it hadn't been for Dolly, we wouldn't have the original copy of the Declaration of Independence. Jesus Christ intended for us to find comfort and security in a vibrant faith The skeleton key to this passage is in discovering how to apply God-given faith when faced during difficult circumstances. Our faith is related to living. Each of us interacts daily among people whose ideals and practices may run contrary to our own. There's bound to be a clash of ideas and morals when our faith is tested. There are many definitions of faith, but it must be agreed that faith should grow according to the way God desires to use us. And what I find fascinating about this, nobody's faith is the same. You cannot compare your faith to your spouse or your neighbor or your children or your parents. God specifically creates the faith for us. It's like having a tailor-made suit or a pair of shoes. The size fits, but it's according to what God wants us to have in that faith. And so faith gives us the conviction to be able to progress forward when it's not known what's to be expected. There is a permanent relationship between God, because He cherishes the confidence, trust, and love of us who are considered His children. Humans feel the need to worship something. You remember in the Old Testament when the children of Israel had left Egypt and they were wandering around in the desert? Moses was upon Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments from God. Well, the children of Israel were, my dad would say, bumfuzzled. They were scratching their head. What are we going to do? What do we worship? And guess what? They convinced Moses' brother Aaron to construct a golden calf so they would at least have something to see. And boy, it got them into trouble, didn't it? But that goes to show you human beings need something to worship. And we worship God because we know God is the God of truth and love. This need comes out of human nature, since we are made in God's image, with the implication that it is a necessity to have fellowship with God. We must understand that God exists before we can worship Him. The worshiper must believe that God is just and He is love. But before we can even worship, faith is the essential ingredient to it all. The way to discover God's presence is to be demonstrated in our ever-growing faith. Well, you know, we must believe certain things about God. God is love, and I've said that several times. He desires for the salvation, trust, and obedience of His children. God is eager to do more for us than we ever anticipated. Our faith should come in an expectant attitude. You know, I will say this, when we get to heaven, we're going to really be scratching our heads and our jaws going to be dropped at all the things that God could have given to us, but we did not ask for them. Now, I'm not preaching health, wealth, and prosperity up here, but a lot of times we feel like, oh, God won't do this for me, God won't do that for me. That's negativity. That is negativity. We know God is there to bless each and every one of us. So don't be reluctant and say, God, what can you do about my situation? It needs your intervention. And God will always come through. God will always answer those who come in faith. Now, the reply may not be what we seek, but it's always the best for us. It may not arrive immediately, but the believer will never be disappointed. The purpose of life is to live in such a way that God will bless our faith as we seek Him in life's struggles. This relationship between God, faith and action is dramatically seen in Gideon's army, as found in the Old Testament. You remember there were 32,000 men who volunteered to go with Gideon to fight a tribe called the Midianites. They were the most powerful nation at the time. But many of these volunteers thought that their success was by their own strength. God knew that only the soldiers who went forth in confident reliance in His power could be counted on to do their best. You know how God chose them? Well, first of all, God challenged them in 20,000, about 20,000 left. Then he said, 10,000's too much. We need to reduce it. And he told Gideon, take him down to the stream and let him get some water. Those who lapped water like a dog, slurping it up with their tongue, were the ones not used by God. Those who used their palm of their hand and drank water like that were the ones God chose. And guess how many? 300 men out of 30-some thousand were used of God that for that battle there. So we must remember that maybe the odds may be against us, but with God, all things are possible. You know, I like what it says in several parts of the Bible where it says, is the arm of the Lord too short? Uh-uh. God can do anything. God really can. We are the ones who put limitations on God. We are the ones that say, oh, God can't come through for me. I'm going to have to fix it myself. And guess what? When you try to fix it yourself, you're going to mess up. Have you ever tried to put a bicycle together without the instructions? You better not ride that bicycle. It may not get you but a few feet. So that's the way it is with God. We need to be completely trustworthy of God. We need to trust God. We need to say that God is the one I have to focus on. So God showed those Israelites that he could work through anything. So with such trust, God delivered the children of Israel. Where is your confidence placed during tumultuous times? Do you follow the news religiously? And I'm not talking about any particular news channel. You know, by the time you're finished, you're going to be biting your fingernails, aren't you? You're going to think, chaos reigns on this earth. What's going to happen? But God is still in control, people. God will never let us down. So instead of relying upon the news media or a politician to fix things, why don't you look upward to God? See what God can do about it. You know, we talk about God's being excluded from school and everything. You know what? We're guilty of that. We exclude God from our own lives. Have you ever prayed about maybe what God wants you to do with your life? You say, well, I'm retired. God does not have a retirement age set up. But God wants to use each and every one of us with our own abilities, gifts, and talents. And we, faith can grow, and indeed, it will flourish if it is pleasing to God. You know, we speak about having a childlike faith, but as adults, we require perhaps a little more vitality to sustain us. Nothing wrong with childlike faith. I still adhere to a lot of my child faith. But St. Paul said, he wrote that mature people of faith need more than spiritual milk to keep them spiritually alive. Why did he say that? Well, look at us. If we lived on milk morning, noon, and night, we probably would survive, but boy, we would be missing out on a lot of nutrients and proteins that we need to help sustain our life. So that's why God, through Jesus Christ, told us you need to be more productive in your spirituality. You need to eat solid food in a spiritual form way. Through nurturing that faith with prayer and devotion is essential to cement a vibrant relationship to God. I'd like to spoon feed every one of you if I could, but you know that's impossible. You have to do it yourself. You know, people frequently play hit or miss when it comes to attending church. I've noticed this since COVID that a lot of people are still staying home in their house shoes and bathrobes. Well, that's good and well if you're sick and you can watch it on the computer or the television. Thank goodness we have modern media such as Zoom or Skype to do that. But this is not necessarily spiritually healthy when you hit or miss church in a physical sort of way, because you know some people don't feel a need for Christian fellowship, and this is dangerous ground for a fragmented faith. Yes, you can hear it on, watch it on television, listen to it on the radio, but it's not the same as being together with one another. That helps our faith to be more nurtured And we grow in the faith that way. So as people of the Lord, we have to be together with one another. No Christian should ever be isolated. There are no such things as isolationists in the church. We are the body of Christ. We thrive with one another. You know, like, look at your body. This little pinky finger, I may not use it that much, but boy, it comes in handy at times. Well, you can ask Gloria. She's also an instrumentalist. She'd miss a few fingers, and you know what? We'd have a different sound of hymns, wouldn't we? So it's the same way. We are the body of Christ. Some of us are parts. You know, I mean, I'm using this in a figurative sort of way. But each one of you are valuable in the body of Christ and in the church. And so deliberate absence is not a good thing, a healthy thing for the individual, nor is it for the corporate body of Christ either. So faith develops through commitment and involvement in God's creation called the church. The sidelines and balconies of life do not produce faith. It is when we fellowship and worship with other Christians that faith grows steadily. That was the reason the Holy Spirit came upon the church at Pentecost. Nathaniel Hawthorne, the famous American author, wrote one time, he compared the Christian faith to a grand cathedral with beautiful stained glass windows. It's only as people enter the cathedral and observe the beams of light streaming through the windows that God's glory is witnessed. I've come in here in the sanctuary sometime in the afternoons late, and when the sun was out, it's glorious to see the light shining through these beautiful stained glass windows we have. Now, that's not God, but God's glory is shown by the representation and seeing what God has done, and His creation is all around us. And many times when I've been in here for something, I would stop dead in my tracks just to spend a few minutes, just to worship God in a private sort of way. Nathaniel Hawthorne was right. God's glory is found in a lot of things. If we apply the gospel and permit tomorrow to take care of itself, and it says it in Scripture, don't be a worrywart. God will be there for us. God takes care of the birds of the air. He clothes everything, takes care of different things. You just think in your life how God has taken care of you. Do you have a roof over your head right now? Well, praise the Lord. Are you going to eat lunch in a minute? Well, if you don't cook it, you can go out to eat. But praise the Lord, you've got food. Clothing. I don't see anybody wearing rags in here today. But God can bless us. Now, am I saying you're going to be like a Rockefeller or one of the J.P. Morgan? No, that may not happen. But it could. Who knows? But each of us should be grateful for what we have and thank God for it every day. And that is the secret to a contented life. We can throw those tranquilizers in the toilet and flush them down. If we follow this recipe found here in Matthew, our lives can be quite nice and sedate. But we have to follow that formula through and through, because God will take care of us. The faith to walk in determination will change our lives in whatever circumstances. It's a proven fact. God will verify it as found in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday and Memorial Day weekend, we are grateful and thankful to you for our many provisions you have provided for us, food, clothing, shelter. We also thank those men and women who serve in our armed services, that they protect the shores of our country from harm. We thank you, O Lord, for the young people who serve and enter the military too. Bless them, O Lord, always, and give them the strength to not only follow their country, but also to follow you. We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.